Well, in our continuing coverage of the Trump administration's exceedingly ill-conceived recommendations to defund both EPA and the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, we welcome to the program a scientist and educator who has spent over four decades committed to the health of the Great Lakes ecosystem in general and Lake Erie in particular. He is Dr. Jeffrey Reuter, the Ohio State University Special Advisor to the Ohio Sea Grant Program and former director of Ohio Sea Grant and Stone Lab. Jeff, a pleasure having you on the program.
No, it's a pleasure to be here.
Jeff, before we get into the cuts and the programs, let's talk a little bit about the background, the Lake Erie that you know so well, a little bit of background on some of the problems in Lake Erie and where we are today.
Well, where we are, I like to tell people right now that we're fighting the third battle of Lake Erie. You know, we fought the first battle war of 1812, Oliver Hazard Perry. We have met the enemy, and they are ours, all Battle of Lake Erie stuff. Second battle of Lake Erie was in the 1970s. Cuyahoga River burned in 69. It was like the bellwether moment in this country. We just decided as a country we're fed up with the state of our environment, with incredible pollution problems that were very well documented by a particular issue of Time magazine in 1969. Became the biggest seller of all time for Time. The very next year, you know, Lake Erie is designated as the poster child for pollution problems, and it's because what happened that next year. So the river burns in 69. The next year, US EPA is formed, NOAA is formed, we have the first Earth Day. That's why Lake Erie is called the poster child for pollution problems. The year after that, the predecessor of Environment and Climate Change Canada is formed. And the year after that, 1972, in April, we passed the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement that gave us the tools the scientists could come up together and come with the targets, come with the solutions to solve the problem, a reduction in phosphorus loading. And about 6 months later, in October of that year, we passed the Clean Water Act. That gave us the tools to regulate sewage treatment plants because that, in those days, that was the primary source of the phosphorus. Greatly improved sewage treatment. Lake Erie responded by becoming the walleye capital of the world and literally the best example in the world of ecosystem recovery. Now we're in the third battle. Since the mid-90s, we've seen the concentrations of dissolved phosphorus, the type of phosphorus that is 100% available to the algae and to our crops and to the grass that we, you know, have in our lawns. That kind of algae is up 150%. The blooms have been back since the late 90s, the early 2000s. Worst bloom we'd ever seen occurred in 2011. And then in 2015, we exceeded that bloom. So things are still not headed in the right direction. So the third battle of Lake Erie is very similar to the first. We need to reduce the amount of reduce the amount of phosphorus that's coming in, very much what we had to do in the 70s. In those days, vast majority was coming from sewage treatment. We needed to reduce the load from 29,000 metric tons down to 11,000 metric tons, 62% reduction. I'm the U.S. chair of a team of scientists from Canada and the United States that have demonstrated that today we need to reduce the load by 40%, so it's a smaller reduction than we had in the 70s, but that's what we need to restore the lake. The challenge for us is instead of working with a dozen or so sewage treatment plants, today we need to be working with thousands of farmers because the vast majority, not all, but the vast majority of the phosphorus is coming from agricultural runoff.
Jeff, is there something unique to Lake Erie and its ecosystem that makes it susceptible to this nutrient contamination and these algal blooms?
Lake Erie is the southernmost and the shallowest of the Great Lakes. The other lakes are all over 750 feet deep. Deepest spot in Lake Erie is 210 feet. If we're the southernmost and the shallowest, we have to be the warmest, and indeed we are. These blue-green algae or cyanobacteria, the more accurate term for them, like warm water. So we typically see the most severe portion of the blooms during August and September when we're at real high lake temperatures. Our watershed around Lake Erie is also the watershed that contains the most agriculture, the most urban and suburban land, and the least forest. those attributes mean that Lake Erie is going to get more nutrients than any of the other Great Lakes, nutrients meaning phosphorus and nitrogen and potassium, the same kinds of things that you would put on your lawn to make your grass grow. A farmer would put them on his fields to make the crops grow. You let them run off into Lake Erie and the algae grows. That excessive amount of phosphorus, the limiting nutrient or the most important nutrient for algae production in fresh water, when that comes into Lake Erie, it's also what makes Lake Erie the walleye capital of the world. Lake Erie's southernmost, shallowest, warmest, most productive. In fact, we always produce more fish from Lake Erie than any of the other Great Lakes, and occasionally produce more than any of the Great Lakes or the other four Great Lakes combined. So it's a very productive lake because of its southernmost, shallowest, warmest, and it gets the most nutrients. But, you know, you can have too much of a good thing, and if you put in too many nutrients, then you start getting too much algae, and you get the wrong kinds of algae, the kinds that are capable of producing toxins, and those we refer to as the harmful algal blooms.
Let's move on to the Trump administration's proposals, budgetary proposals, to cut 30% from EPA and in the process eliminate a lot of great programs like the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative.
Yeah, I'm obviously very concerned about those. I'm hopeful that, you know, we have a new president, new administration, that they're looking at some of these things and they look like obvious cuts, and I'm hopeful that as they learn more about the importance of these and why they're in place, that, you know, in future years those things will be restored. And immediately what we're hopeful is that our congressional delegations around the Great Lakes and really around the country will see the error in these recommendations and will restore that funding. Right now, these are simply the recommendations of a new administration, and hopefully those will be reversed and that funding will be restored. It's just incredibly important.
You know this in Ohio as well, but recent interviews we did on this issue here in Michigan, there's always been great bipartisan support. John Allen of the Office of the Great Lakes calls it nonpartisan when we're talking about the Great Lakes and the importance of that treasure. So there's a lot, like you suggested, there's a lot of hope that maybe these initial proposals, as draconian as they are, will be stripped back.
Yeah, that would definitely be our hope. And you know, John's 100% right. I've always looked at our delegation in Ohio, and I'm the U.S. chair of the NX4 group that has come up with these targets. I served on the International Joint Commission for over 20 years, and for six of those years as the U.S. Chair of the Council of Great Lakes Research Managers. So when we look across our region and look at the Great Lakes, it's the protecting those lakes and recognizing the value of those lakes is not at all a partisan issue. You know, when we restored Lake Erie, and this is an important fact, and I think that both parties around Lake Erie and around the Great Lakes recognize this, but Lake Erie is a good example of this. We often hear that, well, do we want a clean environment, or do we want a healthy environment or a healthy economy and jobs? And you can have both. And Lake Erie is probably the best example in the world. When we restored Lake Erie back in the 1970s, we look at the harvest of fish first. The harvest of fish in Ohio on Lake Erie went from 112,000 fish to over 5 million. We look at individual business development. Charter fishing businesses on Lake Erie in Ohio went from 34 in 1975 to over 1,200 by the mid-1980s. We look at business development along the shoreline, and we went from 207 businesses in 1977 to over 425 by the mid-1980s and more now. When we look at tourism in Ohio, eight of the 88 counties in Ohio, the eight that border Lake Erie, account for over 30% of the tourism, almost 120,000 jobs, and over 13 $1 billion to the economy each year. So that healthy environment has stimulated economic growth, stimulated job development. So it's not a question of either or. You can have both, and Lake Erie is the perfect example of that.
My guest is Dr. Jeff Reuter. We're talking about the health and well-being of Lake Erie and the Great Lakes in general. He is a special advisor, Ohio Sea Grant College Program. Jeff, coming back to problems associated with Lake Erie and the nutrient runoff, there's been a lot of talk lately, at least up here in Michigan, about environmental groups and agricultural groups and other policymakers getting together to try and fix this nutrient loading problem. Do you get that same sense that sometimes these groups don't talk very, very much or very well to each other, that around this Great Lakes issue, around Lake Erie issue, they're willing to come to the table and find solutions?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And that I'm incredibly pleased by that. And I've led a number of those efforts, and in another way, simply been a participant. It's possible. And this, our goal has to be to keep agricultural production high, but keep the nutrients on the fields. And the research that's going on by a lot of different groups has shown that we can do that. And that has to be our goal, keeping the ag production high, keeping the nutrients on the fields. It would be a very different story if it looked like that was going to be impossible, but it's definitely not impossible. And when we look at the what farmers need to do, some of the research has looked at farmer attitudes, and what we see right now is that about a third of the farmers are already doing what they should be doing. Another third look like they're going to do the right things here in the near future. But then you have that third that's out there that it's going to take something different, regulation, some kind of an incentive, but it's going to take something different to make them really do what needs to be done. When you look at the work that needs to be done to keep the nutrients on the field, we really only have three alternatives. We need to have the farmers voluntarily do what needs to be done. We need to create incentives or disincentives and disincentives to encourage them doing the right thing. Or we need to create regulations that require them to do the right things. Those are your only three choices. The more voluntary action you get, the less you need incentives and then the less you need regulations. But those are the only three options that we have. And in many ways, as I look at the numbers right now, it looks to me like close to 60% of the farmers are actually doing the things that need to be done, and that's a very good sign. The vast majority, and again, it's not all, but what I see, it seems that the vast majority of farmers want to do the right thing. We simply have to give them that help or encouragement or require, one or the other, but some of the farmers are suggesting that we should require, put in some regulations to, you know, make it a level playing field. But obviously you won't get 100% agreement with that.
Jeff, we've got about a minute left here in this second segment. But for our listeners out there who are engaged and interested in this topic of Lake Erie and Great Lakes restoration, what would you ask them to do?
I would ask them to definitely call their congressmen or congresswomen and support the funding for GLRI, Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, US EPA, and the National Sea Grant College Program. National Sea Grant is on the blocks to be completely eliminated. We have 8 Sea Grant programs in the Great Lakes, a great one there in Michigan, great one in Ohio. We're very fortunate with the quality of those programs, and they're incredibly important in helping us solve these problems, as is the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. And if we have, you know, giant cuts to the staff at US EPA, those are also incredibly important, because when those scientists walk out the door, you can't replace them overnight.
And that from a gentleman who spent over 40 years of his life working on behalf of Lake Erie and the Great Lakes Basin. I've been talking with Dr. Jeff Reuter, the Ohio State University Special Advisor to the Ohio Sea Grant College Program and former director of Ohio Sea Grant. Jeff, a pleasure talking with you, and keep up the good fight.
Thank you very much. You too.